In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I'm glad to be with you today, and more we hear of the Christmas horrors, that we want to take down the Christmas tree because Christ is in the Christmas tree, the name of Christ. Please, 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 this is only the beginning. Only the beginning. What does Jesus say? They will persecute you as they persecuted me. Mother against daughter, father against son, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. I tell you, the Christmas tree is nothing. Wait till we start paying for our faith. Wait till we start paying. I don't mean that we could pay for our faith, but I mean the persecution of Christians. This is happening all over the world. I'm telling you today, brothers and sisters will die because they love Jesus Christ in the world, out of another country. We haven't got that bad yet, but you know what? Oh, evil multiplies. Evil multiplies. So, my friends, don't worry about persecution. It's coming. And the great thing about persecution is we find out who are the real believers. Who are the real believers? I'm on Social Security because I'm 66 now. What if they say to me, if you are a Christian, you will not get Social Security? You know what I'd say? Keep it. Keep it. Keep it. God will provide for me. God knows how to provide for his children. Keep it. I'm telling you, my friends, we are headed for great persecution. Remember what I read to you yesterday, and I'll start with it again today. These things, Jesus said, I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Please, be in Jesus as the branch is in the vine. Abide in Jesus. In the world you will have tribulation. This is promised. In the world you will have tribulation. You might be having tribulation in your job. You might be having tribulation in your thoughts. You might be having tribulation in your home. In the world, you will have. That's a promise. You will have tribulation. But no, I have overcome the world. I have overcome your circumstances. I have overcome your job. I have overcome your family. In the world, you will have tribulation. But no, I have overcome the world, and I have overcome you. And so we must always remember that the promise of God is tribulation also. Not only are we going to be blessed, we will be persecuted if we truly believe. And I'm telling you, persecution causes the church to become more the church. Persecution causes the church to become more the church. I was just listening to the news, and in an old folks' apartment building, they're taking down the Christmas tree because the word Christ is in the Christmas tree. Isn't it so sick? And people in wheelchairs and people that are standing with walkers are saying, over my body, we're going to keep this tree. This is our tree, and it's a Christmas tree. I tell you, this is absurd, but I'm telling you, this is the beginning. This is the beginning. It starts with taking the nativity off the green, and it continues. I tell you, persecution and tribulation continue. It's not something that starts and stops. It continues because the world hates Jesus Christ. The devil hates Jesus Christ. The world belongs to the devil. I'm not talking about the earth now. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth belongs to the Lord, but the world system belongs to the evil spirit who comes to kill and steal and destroy and wants to destroy the holy days. I tell you, around Christmas time in the magazines, you're going to find of everybody saying Christmas is a myth. The three kings are a myth. Yep. Around Easter time, they talk about Jesus married Mary Magdalena, and he had children and lived with her until he died. No, Jesus Christ died upon a cross. That's historical. Jesus Christ shed his blood for you and for me. That's historical. Jesus Christ was buried in a tomb. That's historical. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ is my Lord. And Jesus Christ is my Savior. And Jesus Christ is my life. He is my life. I have no life apart from Jesus. What about you? What about you? Don't be afraid to give your life to Jesus. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. For in me you will find peace, for my burden is easy, my yoke is easy. I tell you, friends, stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. Yes, stand up for Jesus in the marketplace where you live. Stand up for Jesus. The world and the devil hate Jesus Christ. And because they cannot get at Jesus, they get at us. That's real. That's real. The arch enemy of Satan is Jesus Christ. And they cannot get at Jesus. He's been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. And he is victorious over Satan every time. Because the opposite of Satan is not Jesus. The opposite of Satan is Michael, the archangel. You must know that. Jesus has infinite power. Jesus has infinite love. Jesus has infinite joy. Jesus is the Lord. He is true God and true man. The devil is a fallen angel. The opposite of the devil is Michael the archangel. Okay, I'm looking at Hebrews 11 for a little while, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod or a green shoot from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Who's it talking about? Read it again. Isaiah 11. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And Messiah shall come from the house of David. And who is Jesse? Jesse is David's dad. Let me tell you, Jesse is David's dad. The Lord has fulfilled every prophetic word about his coming the first time by the crossing of every T and the dotting of every I. And when he comes again, he will fulfill all those scriptures in his coming again to the crossing of every T and the dotting of every I. And the Spirit shall rest upon him. Upon whom? Upon the branch that grows out of his roots. That's Jesus. And the Spirit shall rest. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. What Spirit? The Spirit of wisdom shall rest upon him. The Spirit of understanding shall rest upon him. The Spirit of counsel will rest upon him. The Spirit of knowledge will rest upon him. And the Spirit of the fear of the Lord will rest upon this branch that comes forth out of Jesse, out of the roots of Jesse. I tell you, Jesus Christ the Lord has, when he walked the earth and still was filled with the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of fear of the Lord. Let me tell you, fear of the Lord is not, I'm afraid of God. No, the fear of the Lord is when you're in his presence, you get to a low place because you know that God is God and you're just a human being and you are in absolute need of this God. And you get to a low place, you get on the floor and you find the lowest spot that you can because you're in the presence of the Lord. That is what the fear of the Lord is. I remember someone telling me, I think it was Phil Keefe, 100 years ago, telling me, I remember experiencing the Lord and I just got on my face. I was wishing there was a lower place to go, but you know, I couldn't find a lower place, but I got on the lowest place that I could find because I was in the presence of the Lord. Yes. I'll read this again. And there shall come forth a green shoot, a rod out of the stalk, a stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. That's Jesus, the Messiah. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding. He understands you. He understands you. You know, he knit you in your mother's womb. You don't even understand yourself. You know, when I do things that aren't good, I don't even understand myself. But he understands me. He understands me. That's why we cannot judge people. We cannot judge people because God understands us. He understands us and he understands the people that might not like us. He understands us. Now, I'm telling you that the spirit of understanding is in Jesus. You might say, you know, I don't know how I ended up in jail. Well, you know what? He understands your background. He understands that you were raised without a dad. He understands that you had to fend for yourself. He understands. But you know what? He wants to totally change you so that when you're out of jail, you become a light to the world. Let me tell you, he understands you, but he says, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and give your life to me. I'm telling you, that's real. The spirit of counsel, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of fear of the Lord shall rest upon him. And he shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither shall he reprove after the hearing of his ears. In other words, the Lord does not judge us by what he sees and by what he hears. He knows the deeper parts of us. I remember when the prophet was picking out a son from Jesse, and he picked out the father picked out the handsome one, the tall one, the best one, and the prophet said to Jesse, the father of David, you pick by appearance. God sees the heart. That's right. God sees the heart. I'm telling you, God sees the heart. He doesn't choose out of appearance, and he doesn't judge us out of appearance. He judges us from the heart because he understands us. He understands us. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, hallelujah, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. That's it. That's it. The King of Glory comes with a sword in his mouth, I'll tell you. A sword in his mouth that the Word of God will bring people to either repentance or to judgment. I tell you, when Jesus comes again, the Scripture says, he shall come glorious, the Son of God. He shall come glorious, and he shall separate them between the sheep and the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left hand. And he will say to the sheep on his right hand, Come, O blessed of my Father, prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. For when I was hungry, you gave me to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me into your home. And the sheep will say, When did we do that to you? He said, As often as you did it to the least of my friends, you did it unto me. I believe he's saying not only to the world, but especially to the Christians, as often as you have done this to the least of my friends, to Christians especially, you have done it for me. That's real. That's real. He will separate the sheep. But to the goats, he will say, Be gone from me to the eternal fires of hell, because I was hungry and ye didn't feed me. I was thirsty and ye didn't give me to drink. I was in prison and ye didn't visit me. I was a stranger and ye didn't invite me into your home. And they will say, When did we see you like that? He says, As often as you didn't do it to the least of my friends, you didn't do it to me. I tell you, we are not saved by what we do. We are saved by grace through faith, and that yields good works. I tell you, that's real. The Bible is the Bible, and it says faith without works is dead. Real faith clothes Jesus when he's naked, I'm telling you. We saw that policeman again putting on the socks and the shoes of the homeless man. My point is, I wonder where the other thousands and thousands of people, what they thought to see a man that has no shoes and walking on the cold pavement. Where did those other thousands and thousands, remember you're in New York now, what did they do? They just passed by. We won't go into what the poor street person has done. He's in without shoes again. But that's because he's probably a sick man, and I don't know. I'm not going to judge him. He's doing the best he can, I'm sure, living out in the street. And then it says, But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, yes, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle around his loins, and faithfulness the girdle around his hips. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. This is when the Lord comes again now. This is the eternal peace that he brings upon the earth. The wolf shall lie down, or shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And mother-in-law and daughter-in-law are going to be get together, and they're going to have fun, and they're not going to be at each other. Let me tell you this. This is real. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, and they shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp of the snake. And a weaned child shall put his hands on the den of the snake, and they shall not hurt nor destroy on my holy mountain. What's his holy mountain? Jerusalem. On my holy mountain, Mount Sinai, it'll come to me. It's Jerusalem is his holy mountain. And in that day there shall be a shoot of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to which shall the Gentiles seek and rest shall be glorious. I tell you, we await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. We await his coming as the judge of the earth, And as the one who separates the sheep from the goats, we need to surrender our life unto Jesus. We need to give him everything, starting with our sins. We need to open our hearts by grace. We cannot even open our hearts alone. The grace of God opens our hearts. You know, when we hear these prophetic words, open your heart, I say, you know, I can't do it. I can't open my heart. I need the grace of God to open my heart. I need the grace of God to surrender to Jesus. I need the grace of God to give my life to Jesus. I need the grace of God that says, today I want to live with you, by you, and through you. I give you permission. I need the grace of God. Without the grace of God, we cannot do any of those things. Remembering again that he doesn't judge by appearance. He sees the heart of people. He sees your heart. He sees your tribulation. And he says, oh, I have overcome the world. I have overcome your tribulation. I have overcome I have overcome. Whatever you go through, I have overcome. You must know that. I have overcome you. You are no threat to the Lord. You are no threat to the Lord. I have overcome you. Okay, we're going to start now with the 17th chapter of St. John. This is the priestly prayer of Jesus Christ, the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ, the 17th chapter of St. John. Let me tell you this. The Lord's prayer is not the Our Father. That is the disciples' prayer. They said to Jesus, teach us to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's the disciples' prayer. John 17 is the Lord's prayer. He prays to the Father. He prays to the Father, and we have the privilege of listening to how Jesus prayed on the night before he died. John 17, these words spoke Jesus. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son. We remember at Cana, Jesus said, my hour has not yet come. The hour of glorification on the cross. In John's gospel, we hear the 12th chapter, the Greeks come to Jesus, and Andrew brings the Greeks to Jesus. Jesus says, my hour has come. Unless a seed go into the ground and die, it shall not bear fruit. But if the seed goes into the ground and dies, it shall bear fruit. The hour of crucifixion, the hour of glorification of the Son of God has come. It says, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. This all happened on the cross. Glorify thy Son, as thy Son has also glorified thee. I tell you, when we love the Son, we love the Father, and the Father loves us. He tells us, if you love my Son, I love you. If you love my Son, the one who is true God and true man, Son of God and Son of Mary, if you love my Son, you love me, the Father. I am the Father who sent my Son. I love my Son. He is my beloved Son. On him rests the Holy Spirit. Jesus' identity was always wrapped up with the Father's love, with the Father himself. He says, I do not speak any word or do any action. I only do what I see the Father doing. That is what I do. I only speak and do what I hear and see the Father doing. I do nothing unless I see what the Father is doing. Jesus saying, I live my life by revelation. I live my life by revelation. I only do what I see the Father doing. I only hear what I hear from the Father. I do thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is the branch that shoot out from Jesse's roots. Jesus is that branch, and Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches, and we are his people, and he understands us. No one else might understand us, but Jesus understands us because he does not judge by appearance. He judges by the heart, I tell you. So do not fear today that Jesus hates you. He loves you. He loves you. He went to the cross for you. And he gave his blood for you. Yes, for you. Just tell him, I surrender all. I surrender all. I repent of my sin. I surrender all. Again, I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God the best I can. And the mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. If you are blessed by these broadcasts, you can send us a gift, and I never tell how much. We are also on the World Wide Web, and you can go to the PayPal, www.inseason.net, www.inseason.net, and on PayPal, you can leave a donation. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.